It's one of my favorite topics because a lot of people don't know how to pray. How many of you just don't, you're really not sure if you're praying right? By the end of this class, you're going to know whether you're praying right or not and how to pray. Prayer is good. Amen? Can you turn to someone and say, you got to have the tools in the toolbox. Now, sadly enough, a lot of people pray and they don't get answers. How many of you know that you pray because you want to get an answer? Well, no, you don't want to. Why are you praying if you don't want an answer? You're praying because you want an answer. You want God to hear you, and not just God to hear you. You want him to answer you. You want him to do or to exercise what you've asked him for. So if you're praying for a puppy, you know, oh, God, can I please have a puppy? You're really praying by faith, believing that God's going to give you a puppy, right? No. Are you with me tonight? Am I in a Baptist church this evening? No. No. So what's happened is simply this, is that we learn how to pray usually by accident, or most people, actually, I know people who have been saved for 40 years have never learned how to pray. They've never been taught. And so I'm going to teach you not only how to pray basic, but I'm going to teach you how to pray certain prayers to get certain things. Amen? How many of you want to know how to pray right? A lot of people pray like this. Say you're going to build a house, right? You're going to build a house, and I give you a screwdriver. It isn't going to work. I remember one time I said to an engineer, this guy, these folks here just are building their house. It's absolutely gorgeous. And I looked at an engineer one day, and I said, if I gave you a spoon, could you build a house? Well, I expected a quick response of, well, no, that's not what he did. He went like this. And he said, I could do it. And I said, I shouldn't have asked you. But the truth is that you don't build a house with a spoon. And you can't build a house with just a screwdriver. You might be able to, but it's going to take you a very, 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 very long time. You want to use the right tools to get the job done. Correct, Rick? Richard? Absolutely. So if you're going to use the right tools, you're going to get the job done better, quicker, more efficient, and you're going to get what you want. And that's the same principle with prayer. So many people pray wrong. Then they get mad at God for not answering them. It's not that God doesn't want to answer them, but if you're calling the wrong phone number, I'm sorry, this phone has been disconnected. You know, so you got to know how to pray. And that's what we're going to learn in this chapter. Let me tell you some things that prayer is not. Prayer is not, I don't know. The funniest thing you can do is go to a prayer meeting with pastors. It is the best. Ready? It's the first pastor will start off, God, we beseech thee this day that thou wouldest open the heavens and pour out thy blessing upon thee. O God, in the heavenlies we beseech thee. O, before the triunity of the Godhead, we bow ourselves humbly before the King. Then the next preacher, it's his turn. And he uses these bigger words, larger words, more accentuated words. And the next guy will get up, and it's almost like a big competition who prays the best. I want you to realize that prayer is not pompous. What does the word pompous mean? It's not a bunch of big words that impress God. How many of you know big words don't impress God? Right, because what activates God is your heart. So prayer is not pompous. Who can pray the best? Who can pray the biggest words? That's not what God is. Prayer is not competition. Somebody praying better than next. Prayer is not chanting. Oh God, 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 oh God. Boy, that's really hard after a while. Oh God, 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 oh God. That is not prayer. Amen. Sadly enough, a lot of people do a little chanting. You know, they'll even use, like, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the King come, and they'll do that. Say five Hail Marys. You know, Pentecostals have their own little prayers. They'll just say the same thing over and over again. Father, bless this food in the name of Jesus, amen. You didn't even mean it. That's why you got sick afterwards. point is that it's not chanting. So it's not pompous. Who has the biggest words? It's not competition. Who can pray better? And, you know, I know a lot of folks, they won't pray in public because they don't feel they can pray as good as somebody else. I want you to recognize that you don't have to worry about it. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is not competition. Prayer is not chanting. Prayer is not yelling. I want you to know that God is not deaf. Thank you, beautiful. I am a lot older than you, to be honest with you. Yes, well, I mean, if I didn't look good, I wouldn't admit it. Yes, and I still have hair. Amen. You got a lot of hair. So prayer is not yelling. Now, there's nothing wrong with being excited when you pray. There's nothing wrong with you raising your voice when you pray or praying with a voice of authority. And there's nothing, I pray that way too. But I want you to know that it doesn't make a prayer better than somebody whispering. A prayer whisper is just as powerful as a yell prayer as long as you know who you are and stand in that authority. So prayer is not being loud. There are people that are very loud that God has never heard. What? God hears the heart. Amen? So prayer is not a screaming match. Not who can be louder than the other. And prayer is not spooky. Look at, man, the spooky prayers are the funniest. Oh, yes. Yes, Lord. Oh, oh, yeah. Oh, oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll tell him, Lord. I'll tell him. There's this TV preacher who's my favorite because he's crazy. One day he's praying and he's trying to get people to donate. You know, he's probably trying to get people to give money. So this is what he does, right? It's my favorite, man. Yep. Now listen, I practiced a long time, so I've got this down. Yep. Oh, yep. I'll tell him, Lord. I'll tell him. If your child is lost and you want to see him saved, the Lord would say, yeah, I'm telling him to send $1,000 and your child will be born again. That's a spooky prayer. I want you to know that God's not interested in that. That's nuts. Turn to somebody and say, that's nuts. It is. It's stupid, but you'd be blown away how many people think that's really spiritual because they've never been taught to pray. Now, it's not that God won't use a word of knowledge and that God won't have prophetic words. I'm not saying that. But when it gets so spooky, it almost looks like they're like walking 3 feet off the ground. That's not really God. God's not spooky. God is real. And prayer is easy. Prayer, the baseline of all prayer is a matter of the heart. Do you really mean it or don't you? Now, this is very important. I want to make sure we understand this clearly. If you are not born again, God does not hear your prayers. Now, that is unpopular, but it is biblical. If you are not born again, God does not hear your prayer. Well, why is that? How could that be? Well, because the only people who have a right to come before the throne of God boldly are those that have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We cannot stand before a holy God if we are a sinner. If you've been washed by the blood of Jesus, you're no longer a sinner, but you are a saint. For God sees you in the sight of his Son. So a sinner, when they pray, does not get to the ears of God. Now we do know there is something called prevenient grace. What that is God drawing somebody before they knew him. So God will touch them, will do stuff for them to draw them closer to him. But God is not obligated to hear one sinner's prayer except for one prayer. What's that one prayer? Salvation. That is the only prayer that God is obligated to hear from a sinner is asking him to be their Lord and Savior. Hi, buddy. How are you? Man, I need candy. Anybody got any candy? Like soft candy for the child. You got some soft candy? You wouldn't be able to eat any? Oh. Look at, we got candy for you, kid. Welcome to the house of God. Glory to Jesus. Yay! Oh, you want some? So prayer is a matter of the heart. Amen? You need to get that deep inside of you. It is not all these things that people think it is. It's all a matter of the heart. So if you are not praying from the heart, God doesn't hear you. And if you're washed in the blood of Jesus, you still have to mean it. Let me ask you a question. The Bible says that we should not take the Lord's name in vain. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Amen? I want to tell you the most popular place to take the Lord's name in vain. Do you want to know where it is? Church on a Sunday morning. We're singing about Jesus. All these songs about Jesus. And you're thinking about the roast in the oven. Or about the boyfriend or girlfriend that you had a fight with on the way to church. Or your kids just irritated the tar out of you. You're not thinking about Jesus at all. You're singing his name all over the place, but you're not thinking one thing about him. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. The people that take the Lord's name in vain more than anybody else are his own people. No. Selah. That means think about it. So this has got to be a matter of the heart. That's what prayer basically is. You and I sharing our heart with God. Now, the number one type of prayer is called personal prayer. Oh, let's get into this first. I don't want to jump too far. There are different types of prayer in positions. Now, how many of you kneel by your bed when you pray? Oh, one, two, three. Amen. How many of you lay flat on the floor when you pray? How many of you just laying in bed when you pray? How many walk on when you pray? Lay on the couch when you pray? Pray in the shower. Pray in the car. Pray in the car? Listen now. There are different positions, even biblically, that you can use in prayer. But the most important position of prayer is your heart. So you can kneel when you pray. We see this found in the book of Psalms 95:6. Oh, come, let us adore, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our maker. So sometimes you'll feel God and he'll tell you, I want you to kneel. I was just talking to a man in our church who's been with us. Oh my goodness, I believe he got saved 14 years ago when we were over at the school, actually. And he came into a position where he was offended at church and got very angry and left the church for a long time. And ended up coming back because I'd gotten on the phone and just challenged to come back. He and his wife came back and visit. And while he was standing there, the Lord told him, I want you to forgive those people. In fact, I want you to get out in the aisle and kneel before me. And he did it. He did it, and he said, immediately, it was like a burden was lifted right off him. Immediately, it was like he was free. So, listen, there are times you want to kneel before God. What does kneeling before God mean? It means I'm submitting to you. That you are God, and I am not. We all got to get that one down pretty good, amen? That he is God, and we are not. Another position physically is laying prostrate, and that is laying flat on the floor. So back in the days when there were kings, if you came before the king, you weren't allowed to stand before the king. You had to lay flat before the king in complete submission. Now, I want to remind you, how many of you remember the story of Esther? Story of Esther in the Old Testament. Young ladies especially, I'd encourage you to read that, because what that shows is how powerful God will use a woman. The entire nation of Israel was being damned and was going to be destroyed. All of them were going to be killed. I forgot the guy's name. What was the guy's name? What? Mordecai. Now, wasn't that her uncle? Or was that the bad guy? Haman, that's right. Thank you. Haman hated the Jews. So Haman ended up putting together a piece of paper that was signed by the king that all the children of Israel would be killed. Mordecai, which was Esther's uncle, got Esther, who was a Jew, to become the queen. So here as a queen, you were never allowed to enter into the king's throne room without being invited, or you were to be killed, even if you were the queen. That's pretty intimidating, isn't it? So she, to save the nation of Israel, went and bowed before the king. And he gave her grace, and she shared what Haman was doing. And therefore, it was all turned around, and Esther actually saved the entire Jewish nation. But when you go before a king, you don't stand before the king. You bow before the king or lay before the king, declaring their power even over your life. So the position of your body sometimes is very important. You need that? Sometimes is very important. But other times, mainly what it is you and I are the position of our heart. Because you can be kneeling and still be standing. Okay? You can be kneeling and still be standing in your heart. You can be laying flat out before God and not even thinking about God. It's all a matter of the heart. Are you truly talking to Him? Now, one of the most important types of prayer that you and I have to learn is talking to God. Like, simply talking. I'm sorry, I was going out of the picture. Simply talking to God. This is basic prayer. I want you to realize that our personal relationship with Jesus is the most important thing that we have. God is not impressed. So I'm your child, and I want to borrow the car. Oh, Father, I beseech you, Father David, may I please borrow thy careth? I shall put gas in thy careth, Father David. Would thou please allow me, please, please allow me, Father David, to borrow thy car? How many of you know you'd be slapping your child in the head? Schwack, what is wrong with you, child? Okay. People get really weird when they start talking about prayer, man. Basic, most important type of prayer that you can get a hold of is your relationship with God, where you're praying, which means you're communicating with God. God is not impressed with anything but your heart. Do you realize that God knows everything? He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're feeling. He knows what you're gonna think. I mean, there's nothing secret for God. Nothing. Do you know what that means? In your time of communicating or prayer or relationship with God, and this is one of the most important things you need to get down, in your relationship with the Lord, you need to talk with Him about everything. You need to share with Him about everything. You think you don't, do you really think He doesn't know you're mad at Him? He knows you're mad at Him. Talk to Him about it. He knows you're happy. Talk to Him about it. He knows you're mad at your wife or your husband. Talk to Him about it. He knows you feel like crap. Talk to Him about it. He knows when you're so happy, man, you could be skipping down the road. Talk to Him about it. He knows when you're concerned about a situation. Talk to Him about it. The most important thing you can learn to do is have a relationship with God, have a relationship with Christ where you talk with Him just like He's right there. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. He wants you to talk with Him, share your heart with Him. He wants to share your concerns, your great victories, and your most lowest defeats. He wants you to share that with Him because that's relationship. Yeah, but you know, even more than any, sometimes, how many of you just know you need to talk to somebody? You know, these days, I had a person come to my office one time, and They were having problems in their relationship. I said, well, you know, I'd love to help your relationship. And they said, well, that's great. And I said, what I want you to do is I want you to do some things for me. I want you guys to talk about certain things. And they came back the next week and they hadn't talked about anything. And I looked at them and said, well, that will be $150, please. And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, I have a doctorate and I charge $150 an hour if you're not going to listen to me. They didn't come back. I don't know why. I don't know what the problem was. And they didn't pay me. Here's the issue. If you're not going to talk with God, He's there. He'll be the greatest counselor you could ever ask. In fact, the Bible says He's your counselor. Sometimes you just need to sit down with Jesus and say, Lord, I don't even know what the heck I'm thinking. I don't know what I'm feeling. I don't know what I'm doing. Listen, as your pastor, I've driven down the road saying, I don't got a clue. I need you to help me because I got no idea what to do with this one. I got no idea how to work through this. I don't even know what I'm thinking myself. I don't know how to handle this. Help me. How many have ever done that before? That's called prayer. That's prayer. That's what he wants to hear. God, you know, you ever just get up in the morning, it's like, yahoo! You're ready for the day? So how many of you are morning people? Morning people. You know what I'm talking about. How many are not morning people and you pray when you get up? God, help me live today. Lord, I beseech thee for more coffee. Amen. It's all a matter of where are you? Man, I'm talking like whether you're upset, whether you're happy, you got to learn how to talk to Jesus. You got to learn how to have a relationship with Jesus. You got to learn how to share your innermost feelings with Jesus. You know, there are things you cannot tell anybody else, but I want you to know you can talk to Jesus about it. He's waiting to talk to you. He's called the Prince of Peace. That's his name. So when you start sitting with him and talking with him and unloading with him, you don't have to worry about that he's going to go blab it to anybody. And all of a sudden, as you're praying and talking with him, man, you start saying, Jesus, I just need you to step in and give me peace. Jesus, I need you to help me work through this thing. You know the end from the beginning. Can you help me? Can you give me understanding? Can you give me a word of knowledge? Can you give me a word of wisdom? Lord, what can you do in my life, just normal life? How can you help me? And I want you to know, man, he always steps up. He is a great friend. The Bible says there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. Amen. Having that relationship with him is everything. You know, I'll be honest with you, that's not how I grew up. I grew up, if you went to church, you were pretty much good. But that wasn't true. I was never taught that you had to have a relationship with God. I really didn't dare to pray because I couldn't pray as good as the pastor. Will I ever get as good as they pray? You know, will I pray right? Listen, you can't pray wrong if you're sharing your heart with God. Let me say it one more time. You can't pray wrong if you're sharing your heart with God. He just waits to hear from you. Every single day you should spend time with the Lord. Anybody here have a doctor's appointment before? Did you keep your doctor's appointment? You missed one? I'm telling your wife. Do you realize that you are never going to have time to talk, really? I mean, talking like really have a relationship with the Lord unless you start making time for that. How many of you know, how many of you ever had a friend where you go out with them and they never stop talking? Does anybody know somebody like that? Yeah, you can't even raise your hand and get it. You can't even interrupt them by raising your hand. And you go like this. And they just keep going. You can never get a word in edgewise. How many of you know somebody like that? Just don't point at them if they're in the room. The problem with that is this. That's not a two-way relationship. That's a one-way relationship. Why is that? Because to have a relationship, both people need to be able to add their value. How many of you know that a big part of a relationship sometimes is just being quiet and listening? My wife, I remember, because I was at fixing everything, you know. One day, it's too funny. She grabbed a chair, picked it up, walked into the living room, set it down and said, sit down, please. I sat down. She said, now listen, I don't want you to open your mouth. I don't need you to fix anything. I don't need you to tell me anything. Just listen. She started telling me all the things that are wrong with our relationship. And I remember a few times I went, she said, not a word. She got done her spiel. I don't know, it had to be like a half hour telling me the way it was. And she got up and she says, I feel so much better. I love you. Sometimes you got to listen in your relationship. And this is where prayer takes on that other part. It's not just you talking to God. He's not your candy man. He's not the convenience store. He wants to talk to you too. But if you're the one always talking, how will he ever be able to talk to you? You're not listening. So a part of our time of prayer is not just us talking to God, not just us sharing our hearts with God, not just us, asking him to minister to us, but it's also listening to him. It's also allowing him to speak to your heart. And this is why you have to take time out of your schedule. Because let me tell you, once your day begins, let's be real, once your day begins, getting quiet is hard. Once your mind starts cranking of everything you got to do, it's very hard to quiet your head down to hear God. So it's important that you etch out time out of your day. Now listen, when you first start learning how to pray, talking to the Lord, relationship with God, you'll say everything that you know to say within 3 minutes flat. Then you just sit there. I got nothing else. And he'll go, all right, I'll see you tomorrow. And then the next time you pray, after a few weeks, you got 5 minutes down, baby. You went from 3 to 5. Woohoo! After about 6, 7 weeks, you're up to 15 minutes of just you and him just talking. You're building, what, do you listen to me? You're building a relationship. So you're learning how to talk with him. You're learning how to hear from him. You're learning how to share your heart. And he's learning how to share his heart with you so that you can hear him. Because God talks to us all differently. Sometimes he'll talk loudly to some. Sometimes he'll talk to you through a scripture. Sometimes he'll talk to you through a preacher. Sometimes he'll talk to you just that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. And he'll share with you the things that you need to hear. But you can never hear if you're always talking. So I would encourage you, do you want to know the longest 5 minutes of your life are when you're going to be quiet before God for the very first time? Here I am, Lord, I'm listening. Anybody with me? I don't hear nothing. 3 minutes has gone by. Feels like 30. You still got 2 to go. I'm telling you, when you start training your spirit to listen, your flesh gets angry because your flesh doesn't want you to hear from God. You've got to make time to hear from God. You've got to make time to be quiet before the Lord. And every one of us do it in a different location. Sometimes you can be more quiet. You want to know where I get the quietest? You ready? When I'll go to Barnes & Noble, if I really, really need to hear something specific from God, I'll go to Barnes & Noble, I'll buy a latte, I'll put on some headphones, and I'll listen to quiet jazz while all the activity is happening around me, and I have to hear. That makes me become sharp because now I have to pay attention only in one direction. I can't be, what do they call it, squirrel? Squirrel! I'm focused. And that's how I have to write, too. Like, if I go to a quiet room to write, I can't write for at least 2 hours. Because I can't quiet myself down. So you got to learn how you best hear from God, how you best pray. Some of you might pray better in the car. Some of you might pray better in the shower. Some of you might pray better kneeling by the bed. Some of you might be praying better, you know, at night. Some of you might pray better in the morning. It doesn't matter when you pray. Take the time to have a relationship with God. Talk with him. Share your heart with him. Listen to him. It is a relationship. And this is what God longs for more than anything else. This is why Jesus came to die on the cross. He didn't die on the cross to start a religion. He died on the cross so you and I could talk with him, have a relationship with him. That is the most important thing that you can get down when you're talking about prayer. So every day, let me ask you a question. Don't answer out loud. Every day, when are you going to etch out, let's start with 15 minutes in a day. When are you going to take 15 minutes and that 15 minutes only are for you to have a relationship with God? Do you got your time? Put it in your head. You got it? Make an appointment now. If you have your phones with you and you need to make an appointment, put it in your phone. You got to make time to spend time with God. One of the greatest things the devil wants to do is make sure you never spend time with God. If you never spend time with God, then he doesn't have to worry about you. You're never going to be damaging. Because you're always going to learn how to live your old life, your old way, and never rely upon Christ. You're going to struggle as a Christian. How many of you love to struggle? No. The only way not to struggle in your walk with God is to know God. You can't know God unless you talk with God. Not only talk, but listen to God. That is the only way to have a relationship. So that is the most important way to build a relationship with the Lord Jesus. James chapter 2, verse 23 says something that is so powerful. It says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted him to righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I don't know why it says Moses there. That's a typo. A friend of God. So Abraham was actually called a friend of God. My question to you is, don't answer out loud, are you a friend of God? Are you a friend of God? If Christ spoke to your heart now, would you know it was his voice? The Bible says in John 10, my sheep will know my voice. We've got to know his voice. The only way to know is to have a relationship with him. The only way to have a relationship with him is to pray. The only way to pray is to truly mean it from your heart, share your heart, since he already knows your heart. You might as well just share it with him. Amen? Questions about personal relationship with Jesus in prayer. Did I explain it well enough? Yes? How many of you are going to start to pray? How many are going to pray a little bit more? Amen. You know, honestly, you'll be able to. I remember when I first started really praying, like I said, 3 minutes flat, baby, done. When I was in Bible school at one point in time, I could pray almost 6 hours at a clip. I had spent so much time with God. I actually put my friends on hold and spent an enormous amount of time just with Jesus. My relationship with the Lord, if he whispered, I heard him. If you fast long periods of time, like between 7 and 10 days, your spiritual ears will become so keen to the voice of God. So it's really cool. The closer you get to the Lord, the easier it is to hear his voice. Questions? One more time, just questions before we get into the other types of prayer. Yes. Yes.
We went to visit a non-believer in the hospital, and at the end I said, I want a prayer for you. Pray for you. He pretty much insinuated, I won't do any good, but go ahead.
Yes. No, because you, the Son of God, was praying. You are God's Son. So God hears your prayer for a sinner. God will save, God will heal a sinner. But the sinner must get saved after they're healed, or a greater sickness will come upon them. That's what Jesus said. Go and sin no more, lest a greater sickness come upon you. So God will use you to pray for sinners. I pray for sinners all the time, and God will heal me because I'm his son. But if they pray, and they don't know God, God's not obligated to hear them at all. Okay? Any more questions concerning? Yes. When she's going throughout her day, something good's happened, she says, thank you, Jesus. And it's sincere. That's prayer. That's relationship. You know, that's why it's funny because, you know, with somebody who has a real relationship with God, they'll be just driving down the road and all of a sudden a song will just pop in their head and they'll just start singing to the Lord. You're talking to them all the time? Yeah, all day long, man. It's just a normal thing. You know, and then sometimes you'll be walking in the mall and, you know, hey, thank God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, they're dropping, the other people are dropping the name of Jesus. And this one person, man. I've never heard somebody say the name of Jesus so often. Jesus Christ, G-D. And I looked at him one day, and I looked at him one day and says, if you know God half as much as you talk about him, man, you should be raptured. Because they drop the name of Jesus all the time, but it's only in a cuss way. But you and I are believers. It's normal for us to talk about the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, man, what a great day. Isn't it a great day? Thank God. And you are. Yes. Okay. It's good. That's prayer. But why I always tell you to have take some specific time is because, honestly, sometimes you just need time to listen, too. And if you don't take time to listen, you won't hear. Everything around you is too busy. You need to take time to hear from God, not just talk at him, but let him talk to you. Amen? All right. Any more questions concerning that? Yes. Great question. How do you know when you hear from God? Well, usually it's really interesting because God will speak to us in different ways. Sometimes you'll be reading a verse and it will jump off the page and start sucking your face. And you know that that is a scripture just for you. You probably read that verse 100 times, but this time it became alive. There are other times where the preacher will be preaching. Now listen, this is so funny. I hear this all the time. I'll be done preaching the sermon, right? And 5 people come up to me and go, how did you know? Oh, yeah. You were in my bedroom, weren't you? Oh, yeah. Who were you talking to? Oh, I know you were talking to Larry. I know you were talking to him because he and I were talking about it. He told you, and that's why you preached it, right? No. What it is God was speaking to you through the preaching of his word. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. And what's really funny is I'll have 5 different people come up to me and say that to me, and they'll tell me the point that they thought I was talking at them about, and it was 5 different points. None of them are saying the same thing. It was just that's where they were at that moment, and God used that message to speak to them specifically about that situation in their life. So sometimes you hear it that way. Yes. Yes. He's saying it's really cool when I'll be preaching it here and then there'll be 3 guys on the radio that preach the same message. Well, the reason that is because he's the same Holy Spirit. Amen. All over the place. Speaking to his church, the corporate church. Other times you're going to hear a voice inside. No, it's not. Hey, how are you? You're just gonna hear God. He's gonna say, I love you, or listen, man, pull over to the side of the road. I had a friend of mine, he was on his way to do ministry, and he was going up this massive hill, and the Holy Spirit told him to pull over and get a cassette tape. Shows how old he was. Get a cassette tape out of his trunk. And he said to God, why would I do that, Lord? I'm listening to a tape right now. The Lord said, I said, pull over and get a tape out of your trunk. He pulled over, got out of his car, got a tape, got back in the car, got up to the top of the ridge, and there was a car accident. If he had not pulled over, he would have been a head-on accident. You'll just feel him nudge you. Don't do this. Don't go there. Hey, I love you. The still small voice of the Holy Spirit. He's so cool. You'll grow. The biggest part, if you never listen, don't worry about it. You won't hear nothing. So you got to listen. Amen? It's part of a relationship. Anybody else? Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Yes. That's right. She's right here. He's going to give you something. That's cool. Right. Isn't that cool? It's God speaking to you. Yes. That's the voice of God. And watch, that's relationship. Because how many times do you ask God to do something? Think about it. How many times do you ask God to do something for you? But if you never listen, he can't ask you to do anything for him. Because you aren't listening to him. Do we have a runner? Brother Ben? Do we have a microphone? I'm just knowing that everybody online can't hear a blessed thing, so. Wow, am I gray? Look at that. Sorry. Who wants to be the runner? Thank you so much. I got to stop. Oh, I'm out of the line. Watch. Okay. Now, again, the reason we do microphones is everybody online, when you're talking, they can't hear you. That's why I repeat you a lot of times. Good.
Are we on?
Yep.
All right. So this happened just a couple years ago, but there was a gentleman that I knew, and I knew he was an alcoholic, and I knew most of his money got spent on alcohol and cigarettes, and I was going by him one day, and I kept hearing, give him $5, and I was like, absolutely not, and I kept going. That night, I was sicker than sick.
Yep.
And then the next time I saw him, guess what I was told?
Give him $5.
Now give him $10. So I had to give him $10. When I gave him the $10, I felt such peace. It was unbelievable.
Amen.
But when I was disobedient with the $5,
yep.
I was sick. I was physically sick that night.
Yeah.
And I said, oh boy, now I got to go find that guy. When I found him, it was $10.
It was $10. So one time I'm getting ready to go to church. This is when I was an evangelist. Getting ready to go to church because I went to church. You know, evangelists are supposed to go to church when they're not preaching out. Amen. So I was getting ready to go to church, and the Holy Spirit said, give the pastor $100. Well, I didn't have $100. So I said, God, I don't have $100. And he says, don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. So I got to church. Right when I got to church, some guy walked up to me, and he shook my hand. And in it, it's called Pentecostal handshake. I don't know if you've ever heard of that terminology. But there's money. You put money in the cup of your hand, and when you shake their hand, you give them that money. So he walked up to me, shook my hand, and there was a check in my hand. And so I went, you know, and I looked at the check, and guess how much it was? $100. I flipped it over and said, pay to the order of, and I put the pastor's name on there, walked up and gave the pastor a handshake. God spoke to me. God provided. See, it's relationship. And this is what we really want to get you involved with. You know, there have been times that the Lord has told me, to go talk to, I'll give you an example. One of my friends, Terry Shuttlesworth, he's a pastor down in Virginia Beach. He, when he was on the road as an evangelist, one day he went and he was preaching at a church. He got off the airplane with he and his wife, and they went to the car rental place. And while he stood at the counter, the Holy Spirit said to him, I want you to tell her that I love her and that she's important to me. And he whispered it off, and he went and got in the rental car, and he said, I couldn't leave. He said, the Holy Spirit said, I told you to go back in and tell that woman I love her. So he got out of his car, walked in. He says, can I talk to you for a minute? She goes, sir, is everything okay with the rental car? He said, yes. It's just, can I talk to you over here a little bit? And he looked at her, and he says, I really don't know what this means, but the Lord Jesus wants me to tell you that he loves you. She fell on the floor and started crying out loud. He goes, shh, shh, shh. And she said, I walked away from the Lord so many years ago, and I'm living with my boyfriend now, and I always want to come back to God, but I just don't think he wants me. I don't think he'll ever accept me. But the Lord said to her, I love you. That night, her and her boyfriend came to the church service, and both of them gave their hearts to Jesus. So God wants to not just hear you say, Lord, I need $1.29 for the jukebox. But he wants to talk to you to use your life for him. Amen? And sometimes it's just, hey, man, God will just say to me, you know what? I'm proud of you. Sometimes we need to hear God say he's proud of us. Amen? I'm proud of you. Or thank you. So God will thank you just like we thank him. It's relationship. Yes. We need a runner. Brother Ben.
This Sunday, Pastor Cody preached, and before he started preaching, the Lord gave him a word of knowledge, and he said, there's somebody here with their right knee, and you've had pain, and he described the pain and everything, and I've been wrestling with this for almost 3 months, and I would have like a partial healing, and then but it was not okay, and so I was like, yes, he said, raise your hand, I'm like, you know? And over in the back, another hand went up, you know? And so, and God healed me.
Yes.
And it was just like that. And it's still healed. I mean, it's still, Amen. God is, you know, he's so good.
He does.
Yep. And so afterwards, Julia Moss, Julie and Julia, came up and said, did you go for that healing for the knee today? And I said, yeah. And she said, so did I. I had the same thing. And so God healed both of
us.
Yes. And so it's, again, with prayer, we pray. And even though God can directly heal us, I've had that before. At the same time, sometimes he does it through people.
Yes.
You know, and it was just really cool how he did that.
He cares.
And Julia's. We have the same issue, you know.
He cares.
Yes, he cares.
It's so neat. So, you know, you need to have a closer relationship with Jesus. And you got to really start talking with him. I mean, really share your heart with him. He's all right with that. You can't offend God. You can't offend God. Yes.
So I had a situation this morning, and I was running late for work, and Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I'm saying that this is my testimony. Don't let anybody else do this unless you hear from the Holy Spirit. I am noted for stopping alongside the road when somebody is pulled over if Holy Spirit moves me. And I used to be to the point where if Holy Spirit said something, bam, I was on it.
Yes.
And life, hashtag life, has happened, and sometimes I question or rationalize it. So I'm like, Holy Spirit's like, that truck right there, I need you to stop. Well, I'd already gotten on the exit and passed it. And I'm like, but I may be late for work, and I can't be late for work. And he was like, quiet, just like he had told me once. And I was like, okay, I'm so sorry. I apologize. I'm like, let me just go around. I go to the next exit, come back around. And I'm like, wait a minute. That truck was before the exit. And I took the on-ramp. So like, where is it? It's gone. It's not here. And he goes, just needed to know and to test your heart.
Yes.
Want
to test your
heart. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. So I wasn't late. Got to work on time. Mm-hmm. And there was, like, no way possible. Like, it was almost 5 minutes before I was supposed to clock in when I ended up taking the exit to go back around.
Wow.
So nothing but God. And even though I was a little disobedient at first, you know, to be able to do that and go back through again and clock in and get into work and right on time.
And right on time.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, sometimes
five-minute window. Like,
sometimes he will speak to you and ask you to do something just to see if you'll do it. It's relationship. You know, he wants to know if you're going to listen to him. You'll know it's God when you can't get rid of it. You try everything in the world. Is this me? Is this God? Is this me? Is this God? Is it me? Is it God? And you can't get rid of it. You can't just, it's nagging at you. That's when you know it's God. When you can't get rid of the nag. Okay? We do a whole class, actually, how to know the voice of God. So in this, I'm not sure which book it's in, but we'll actually talk about how to be led by the Spirit of God. How do you know it's God speaking to you? We'll actually go through that chapter together. Anybody else? Something about your relationship with the Lord and how he talks to you or how you talk with him. Then I'm going to end because I haven't even begun. Okay? No, it's good. This is the most important type of prayer. Listen, everybody should be praying every single day. Every day. And we should be praying all day. There's that quiet time of prayer with the Lord, but then all day, you should be just chatting with him all day long. You're going to find that you'll have an awesome relationship with Jesus. It's really cool. Anybody else? Yes. Brother Ben!
So I like when God shows me that he has a personality similar to mine. Yeah, good. You guys are in trouble. So I used to do a delivery route, and I was in Hornell, and I stopped at a rummage sale because I had a couple minutes to go. And they had these Barbie dolls for like 50 cents a piece. So I was like, really cool. $10 got my daughters, a whole bunch of Barbie dolls. And the lady told me they were saving money to go to Kingdom Bound. Her kids were, so they put the stuff in. And God said, give her $50. And I said, no. So I went from Hornell to Wellsville, which if you don't know, it's a drive. The whole time, you're going to give them $50. And I said, no, I'm not. I said, I got some goldfish. I'm going to give them some goldfish. Right. When I come back through, throw them $5. All I got is $55, and the $50 was gas for that week, and I'm not doing it. So I came back, got the goldfish, gave her the $50, and then left. And now I drive from Hornell back to Elmira. I'm like, way to go, because now I don't have any money, and I can't finish my week out because I need the $50 for the gas, and I don't have it. I came home, and in my mailbox was a $50 check from an insurance company from 3 years prior. So then I just said, you're funny.
Yeah, no, really, he is funny. And he wants to, you know, he wants to use your life. Sometimes the Lord's told me just to walk up to somebody and say, you know, God loves you. What I didn't know was they just asked, God, are you real? So we're thinking we got to do something really big. God might just push you to say something really nice. Walk up to somebody, I'm praying for you. You don't know what hell they're going through. And you just gave them hope because God spoke to you to speak to them. So listening, getting the voice of God is so much fun. So this is, all starts through relationships. So I want to challenge everybody. Take 15 minutes a day. We have another one over here. 15 minutes a day and spend time, quiet time with the Lord, but then talk to him all day long.
Yeah, I've told this story before, probably the clearest God ever spoke to me. And you might remember you actually had me come up front once and talk about when my cat was healed.
Yes.
Had a large tumor. We had some people from church at our house. We prayed. We laid hands on the cat.
Yep.
When the surgery was going to be $500. When we took the cat to the vet, the tumor was gone.
Amen.
And so I got home and I said to Vicki, wow, that cat's been healed, and we saved $500. And God said to me, no, you didn't. That $500 is mine. I healed the cat. You're paying me, not the vet. And it just wouldn't let me go. So I actually seated a lot of it here and then seated some to the SPCA.
Yep.
But wouldn't quit saying, you owe me $500.
Listen, this is the great part about God. He does have a great sense of humor. And he wants you to know him, man. There's nothing better than knowing God. And the more you press in like this, you're going to have a great time in your relationship with Jesus. The people that lose desire for God are the people that don't have a relationship, and it turns into religion to them. So spend time with him. You'll always stay on fire for the Lord. You'll always stay happy with God. I'm not saying that there are times that you're not bored in your relationship. You know, in any relationship, it's easy to get bored, and you just got to learn how to stir it up. If you've not been married, then you don't know what I'm talking about. So, amen? Praise the Lord. Father, I just thank you so much for all those watching online. God, we thank you so much for those that are in this room in the name of Jesus. We declare, God, by your Holy Spirit, that you will teach us to have a relationship with you, that you'll draw us close, Holy Spirit, and whisper in our ear, talk to us, prompt us, push us. Lord, even at times we ask that you correct us strongly. Lord, we want to be like Christ. We want to know Christ. And God, there's no way to do it in the flesh. So teach us. Teach us to pray. Jesus, the disciples asked you that, and this is what you taught them. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, you taught them how to pray. Teach us to pray, Jesus, that we'll have a great relationship with you, that we'll know you, not know about you, not know what you've done in the past, but know you now. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege and the blood that you shed that we can have this with our Father. In Jesus' name, bless the offering. Bless us all throughout the rest of the week. Lord, those five people's names that we've written down, we thank you that we'll be inviting them this Sunday, that Lord, we'll share the gospel with them. Lord, we thank you, God, that we'll be able to bring at least one soul, everyone in this room, everyone watching by live stream, bring at least one soul to you this week for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. We'll finish this out next week, I hope.